Thank you, John. Let's give him a little more love. Woo, so sweet. Wow, what a great day this is. So it is my pleasure to introduce Francine Huss and welcome her to our community for this great talk today and to highly recommend her books in the back there. It's a wonderful book called Think Better, Live Better, 5 Steps to Create the Life You Deserve. So I'm going to give you a little info on Francine here. Francine has been a licensed practitioner at the Golden Gate Center for Spiritual Living for 10 years in Corte Madera in the Bay Area. She's also been on their board of directors for many years, serving in many wonderful roles. She's a teacher, an author, a consultant, and a committed student of science of mind principles. Her expertise is in teaching complex principles in a way that can be easily understood and immediately applied. That sounds good, doesn't it? She thinks big, expects much, and inspires others to leapfrog limitations into a powerful state of manifesting miracles. If you are ready to create a shift to receive buckets of good of any kind, you should take this workshop today with her. You'll go home with a big old bucket. Francine and her husband live in Healdsburg, California, and Lake Michigan, where their lemon pie dream life includes dogs, vineyards, sunset, travel, music, craft beer, entertaining family and friends, creating original art, designing beautiful spaces, and living spiritual abundance. Francine really walks her talk. Welcome.
Sounds pretty good.
Let's give her a hand.
Wow.
What it says.
Here's my book. Even I like the way that sounded. I want some of that. I did have a friend visit me in Healdsburg, California one time. It's the wine country. And I asked this friend what she wanted to do while she was there. She's like, I just want to live your life. Just do what you do, you and your husband. And that's what we did. You know, I want to just start by saying you are so blessed. Those words to that chant, you're so blessed. This is such a beautiful place where you live. I was fortunate to spend the night last night at a friend's house in Lake Tahoe and then drive here this morning, and it is so magical. There's, you know, God's everywhere, but it seems like there's a lot of God right here. It's so beautiful. And you have a beautiful church. I hope you appreciate that. Not every church is quite as beautiful as this. It's really wonderful. You have wonderful practitioners. Obviously, great music here, especially for the size of your church. You have really great music. And Reverend Maggie Buck is such a gem. She's special to me because when I became licensed, as you may or may not know, when you become licensed, you go through rigorous testing. And one of us is called the oral panels, where you sit with a minister and 2 practitioners who you don't know. They're from other churches. And then they ask you very important questions about spiritual things, and they ask you to pray in front of them and try not to get too nervous. Anyway, Reverend Maggie was my minister, so she's always has a special place in my heart that she licensed me. So I feel so fortunate to be here. This is what I love. It's not all that I do, but it's what gives me the greatest fulfillment in my life, is to continuously learn these principles, teach these principles, speak them to whoever will show up and hear them. And I pretty much knew that when I took the first course in Foundations. In Foundations for my project, my project was an outline for a book. It took a little while for me to do a book, but from the minute I learned these principles, it changed everything. So a little bit about me. I'm not one of those speakers. There's a lot of speakers that kind of give you their rags to riches stories. You know, they started out with nothing or orphans or, well, I'm not one of those. I grew up in a good family. I had a good life. I grew up in the Caribbean for a while. And yet, when I was introduced to these principles, which was actually by my husband, the first time I met him, I remember we were at a party, and I think he was just finishing foundations. And all I remember, it's a joke with us now, all I remember about that meeting is, and I came from the corporate world, I was corporate, type A, flying around the world, and when I met him, I was not spiritual one bit. So this guy that I met, all I remember, he was talking about love this, love that, it's all love. I had no idea what he was talking about. But somewhere between there and now, these principles changed my life and turned a light bulb on. So I had a good life. I achieved a lot of things. I was successful by most people's definition. And I did it by working really, really hard. So one of the things I learned by these principles is it's not really about working and doing and making it harder. It's about being. And so I still have a good life. I have a better life. I am happier than I can ever imagine in especially certain parts of my life, and I'm still working in other parts of my life. But learning these principles just makes life a lot easier, makes life a lot more fulfilling, more meaningful. There's infinite benefit. And so when I had the idea to write a book, actually the first, I always had the idea to write a book, and one of my dear friend and mentor is Dr. Reverend Lloyd Tupper. I know some of you know Lloyd Tupper. He was the first president emeritus of the Ernest Holmes Institute that taught many, many ministers, including Reverend Maggie. He was also the founder of my community in Corte Madera. And when I first went to hear him speak, I was sitting in the back. I was one of those back row kind of people, now in the front row kind of person. And I remember telling my husband, like, I want to know him. I want to be friends with him because of his energy and all that. So actually, we did become friends, primarily because I was on the board of the church and he was the founding minister. And I was usually always the pledge person because I like asking people for money. I actually... So I get to be the pledge person, and one of the first times, I was still, you know, coming off all my classes, financial freedom and all of that, one of the first times I ran the pledge program, I thought, well, now if we give 10% and life gets so good, what if we give 20%? Because it's the principle, right? The more you give, the more you receive and all of that. So that was my idea for that pledge program, and of course, I had to suggest to my husband that we might have to participate in that because I can't really propose something that I'm not willing to do. And he has since gotten used to me coming up with these ideas that we must do. But I also had the distinct honor of calling the founder, who was one of our biggest givers at the time, and I thought, well, I better suggest this to him. And when I did, there was a big pause at the other end of the line when I suggested to Lloyd maybe... it wasn't 20%. It was doubling the gift. I suggested doubling. And he said, well, you do know who I am and that I understand these principles. I said, I know you do. And I proceeded to explain to him why it was such a great idea. And so, you know what he did? He did double his pledge, and actually quite a few more people than we expected did. But that's just to say how that really definitely got me to know Reverend Lloyd and him, me. And we got to be good friends. And at some point, I asked him if he would write a book with me. Well, I'll cut to the chase and tell you that my practitioners that I work with kept suggesting over and over that you don't really need someone to do this with. Can you see the theme here? I was thinking I needed someone else to write a book with me. I wanted to write a book, but I thought, I need someone like Dr. Tupper. Well, we had kind of fits and starts with our book writing, and it never really transpired, but it turned into my book, which is exactly what was in me all along. So it took 6 years to write this book. And what I tell people is it didn't take God 6 years, it took me 6 years. And I'm not a patient person, I will say that. It's not one of my strong points is being patient. And if someone would have told me when I said yes to it, when I said I want to write a book, if someone would have said, honey, this is going to be 6 years, I probably wouldn't have done it. But when it was finished and I looked back, because it evolved and evolved and evolved, and what really happened was that there was a book, there was this book of spirit that didn't exist before, that was required by the world. And that book required me. It required me. And it required me to become the person I needed to be to bring forth that book in that way. Does that make sense? My idea in starting the book is not the idea that ended up producing the book. It was my evolution to continually evolve into the person this book, as it is now, needs it to be. So that when I actually pick it up, when I pick it up and I read it, I am quite amazed. I think, wow, who wrote this? Truly, truly, I can hear some of my words, but then I can also hear that this is, in some ways, not my words. It's really a collaboration of me and spirit, and I had to grow into being the person this book needed me to be. Now, the purpose of this book is it is Think Better, Live Better, and I will say right off the bat that I don't really think it's written for any of you, because I can just tell by the aura in this room that this is a bunch of enlightened beings. I wrote this book for everybody else. And one of the biggest compliments a couple people have given me is, this is finally the book I can give to people who know me. This is the book I can give to my family when they don't understand what it is I believe. They don't get it. They think it's a little woo-woo. This is that kind of book that explains. And that's another reason it took 6 years. I had to create somewhat my own language and get out of the jargon of some of the things we say all the time and make things simple. And the five steps is really five steps of spiritual mind treatment. I don't call it spiritual mind treatment. In fact, I rarely use even the word God. I think I use the word God once in here. I use the word life with a capital L and life with a small L to denote our personal expression of life. So the purpose of this book was really to bring these principles to the broadest audience I can, an audience that often can be turned off when it sounds too godlike, and to make these principles, and especially spiritual mind treatment, which is one of the greatest gifts Ernest Holmes ever gave the world, is spiritual mind treatment. So the five steps are spiritual mind treatment, explained when you read it, as I'm sure you all will, explained in a really slightly different way. I have my own take on it, which is not out of principle, by the way. I had this book reviewed by at least three ministers and about five practitioners, teachers, because I wanted to make sure, even though this has a very different flavor, it's a very unique presentation and simplified, I wanted to be sure that I was not veering an iota from our principles, especially in the principles of spiritual mind treatment. And one of the greatest compliments I got about that was from a practitioner student, a practice student, who read this and said, and you know, as you know, in almost every class, there's spiritual mind treatment is part of the curriculum. And a practice student said, I finally got it. I finally got something about treatment I didn't get in any of those classes with this book. So it does explain things in a simpler way, a more approachable way, and I hope to think a more useful way. So we will have books at the back, and I want you to know that if anyone feels that they can't afford the book at this time, then I'd love for you to have it as a gift. It's my gift, because it is really my joy to put this out there, and whether it's for you or for a friend. So you can get them for friends as well. I want to read just a little something from this book, Think Better, Live Better. Because, you know, the first question that comes to mind is, well, what exactly is better? So this is, I don't need my glasses. This will give you some ideas of better. Because as as the bio says, I do think big. I think big. I scare people sometimes. I scare my husband a lot. But I think big, and I inspire people to really stretch and think big. And so I will here in this talk and in the workshop. Whatever you thought of here as big is nothing compared to the workshop. You're going to really expand, and leave with a whole different energy. Because what we're doing is we're only creating a different energy that matches the vibration of some possibility that's already exist. You know, form is only about 5% of the energy that exists. Everything else is potential. Everything is possibility. And it is as if we can literally just pluck them out and pick them. And the way we pick them is by deciding what is better for us, what we choose, what we want, and then becoming a vibration with that. And when we become a vibration with that, then it's inevitable. It's an attraction, magnetic attraction. So let me give you some ideas of better. Live as though I have a great purpose. Act with confidence that all of my needs are met. Speak as if my word is powerful. Think from an intelligence that knows all. Create as if the inspiration of Michelangelo impels me. Dream with expectation that anything is possible. Give as though I can never deplete my riches. Forgive as though there is nothing to forgive. Breathe as if I have an eternity. Help as if everyone was my sister and brother. Consider the earth a living, breathing being. Share as though my life depends on it. See every present moment as exactly perfect. Practice peace as if there is no opposite. Value myself as though I am priceless. Place every footstep as if a red carpet unrolls beneath it. Hug others as though my embrace heals. Just be me as though this is my only purpose. Be still and listen as though the angels speak to me. Laugh as though my laughter cleanses the air that carries it. Pray as though I am life talking to myself. Dream joy, expect good, speak gratitude, always choose love. So I believe that the Centers for Spiritual Living have created a theme for each month, and I believe that Reverend Maggie has been following the theme for April, which is transformation and evolution. And those are some big words. And, you know, I'm about simple, not big words. So when I think of transformation and evolution, what I think about is change. Because in order for either of those to be, and I'm sure Maggie's already spoken about them, in order for anything to change, to evolve or transform, you require change. Well, as it turns out, the nature of this universe is change. Change is inevitable. Change is unstoppable. Now, I know that many people, probably more people than not, resist change. Change can be scary. Change disrupts. I understand that. I'm a person that loves change. I love change. And what I would say if you resist change is you just better pony up to it and turn that around, because you're not going to change. So there is always change. Now, what causes change in our lives? Many things cause change in our lives, many things. You get fired from your job. Someone leaves you. Someone flirts with you. You get unexpected bills. You get unexpected windfalls. Things happen that cause change. They push us from our status quo into dealing with it. Change can happen when there's drama. Change can happen when we're tired of drama. Michael Beckwith, when he teaches the four kingdoms of consciousness, you know, kingdom one, victimhood, says kingdom one, drama really is a kingdom one thing about being a victim, about feeling that life is happening to you. And what happens in that is drama is what makes you feel alive. Can you relate to that? Drama makes us feel alive sometimes until we find other ways to feel alive. So we may get tired of our drama. We may get tired of our own story. We may get bored with our lives, bored with any parts of our lives. That can cause change. Things that happen in the news can cause change. All sorts of things are impetus to change. Sometimes just listening to that still small voice that won't stop speaking to you. Do you ever have that? When there's a voice that says this, and you say, oh no, no, I'm not ready for that. And then it says this, and you think, no, that scares me. That happened to me when I was making a very big decision about following this path of being a practitioner. Because I did come from the corporate world, and at some point I stepped off that, I'll call it the merry-go-round, as the nicest term for it. I was ready to step off it. I loved the corporate world when I was in it for many, many years, and when I was ready, I was ready. However, the shift to this life was scary to me. And yet I know that the principles are that whenever we take a step forward, God is right there for us, that we're not alone, that we get support. It helps that I love change. So when there's some kind of cause that forces change upon us, we are at choice. We are at choice to make a choice, and we're also at choice to not make a choice. Sometimes we don't realize that, but we can make choices to not make a choice. We can just say, I'm just going to go with the flow. That's an easy one to say. I'm just going to go with the flow. So here's where I'm going to ask you to think a little bigger about this, because Thomas Troward talks about when we do not consciously direct our thoughts, when we don't consciously direct the direction of our thoughts, when we just allow ourselves to go with the flow, to be moved with race consciousness, what we get is the average of race consciousness. Does that make sense? We get the average of race consciousness. So choosing not to choose is going to leave us mostly with the average of race consciousness. Choosing not to choose, as Raymond Charles Barker says, not making a choice is a decision, and it's a decision to fail. I just spoke to Reverend Lloyd on the way in because he called me to make sure I felt supported and said he'd be in prayer for me. And we talked about that because Raymond Charles Barker was his mentor. So we talked about that quote. Not making a choice is a decision. It's a decision to fail. So it's about making a choice. What do we choose? Well, I'm sure in that list of better, and I didn't actually read the whole list, I'm sure there's something there that caught you, something that inspires you. It's really God's idea of you stepping up to the more that's available for you, the more that you already are. It's an invitation by Spirit. I tell my practitioner clients that I work with, before you even put your toes on the floor in the morning when you wake up, you are already everything you are ever going to be. You are never going to be more than this. You never were, never will be more than this. You are everything, everything. And it's really how much we open to that, how much I opened to becoming the person for that idea called this book. So what is better to you? What is better to choose? What is calling to you? Now, I want to tell you also, here's a what I think is a think better idea. Your better matters. It matters. Because we can sometimes think, well, my idea better is a little selfish. I want this or I want that. I don't want to change the world. How does my better matter? And I'll give you my proof. It's like a mathematical proof. You remember proofs? This, then that. The way I think, first of all, we start out that we exist. We're all here. We all have chosen in some way, our souls chose to incarnate in this time, in this place, and here we are. And I believe that there's no accidents. Now think about this. Before you came here on this planet, there were already many, many people here, right? So why you, why now? We already had plenty. The only reason that makes sense is because there was something that was not here, a place for you to fill. You're here because of what makes you completely unique, unlike anyone else. And that uniqueness must have a reason. There must be some purpose of this uniqueness that you're here to express. The uniqueness that are your gifts. And I don't mean just being talented like a virtuoso. I mean just the gifts of your beingness, of who you are, of how you, the energy you bring that no one else can, of how you change things just by walking into the room. I heard a talk by Meryl Streep about just the craft of acting. And she said that one of the things she's aware of is with any character is when they walk into the room, how does the air change? How does the energy and the molecules of the air change by that character? And that's true for all of us. The energy changes when we walk into the room. So it must be that our uniqueness is for a reason. Our uniqueness is our purpose. That's what I believe. Our purpose here on this planet is to express what is only ours to express that no one else can express. And how do you know what that is? Well, it's what you love. I don't believe God created us to bring something forth that we would not love. There's no logic in that. There's no principle that supports that. Now, that doesn't mean we all don't have gifts of things that we may be good at that we don't love. We can probably point to things. I know there's things in my life that I'm good at. I don't want to do those things. Think about what you love, what inspires you, what makes you feel alive. And the question to ask is, if is this really a spirit-directed expression, or is this my ego? How do I know if this is the true thing or not the true thing? And a simple question to ask is this life depleting or life affirming? Because we are here as heavenly dispensers of God's good. We are here to express more life. So if that which you love, that which you're here to bring, is expressing more life, then there's your answer. So it's choosing, making choices to change. Now, what's the risk? What is the risk in thinking bigger, in getting bold? What is that risk? And I'll help you if change is a little scary. Because it might scary means that there's some risk. There's something we might lose. There's something we fear. What is the risk of dreaming bigger? Of rejection? Sure. Anyone else? Failure. Well, you know what? There's no risk. There is absolutely no risk to saying yes to spirit. We can't fail. We're not set up to fail in spirit. We may define failure as this didn't turn out the way I thought it would turn out. And then the question is, well, what if that is exactly the way it should have turned out? right? When I have a client that is in the throes, and we all know this one, in the throes of, this is not working, my life is not working, this isn't how I thought it should be. No, Francine, you really don't understand. It's really not working. That's a really stuck place to be. We've all been there. Even professional practitioners have been there. And one of the tools that I use with my clients is to ask them, let's put that aside and let's see if there's some future self of you. Maybe it's a year from now, maybe 5 years from now. Do you think it's possible? I talk in the book a lot about, are you willing to be willing to be willing? Are you willing to look at yourself now from some future place where you can imagine that everything is wonderful, maybe not how you think it's going to go, but in some future wonderful moment, can you imagine looking back and saying, oh, I get it. I see how that happened. I see how I either created it. I see how, whether I don't know how I created it, I allowed it to be. And I see that that needed to happen in order for me to get to here. It had to happen. Now, do we have to be in pain in order for us to get there? Absolutely, positively not. We don't have to be. But sometimes when we have resisted other ways, it's what shakes us up and gets our attention. Do we think God, in this place of the pain, the turmoil, the chaos, do we think God is not present? God is not always offering itself? God hasn't given us everything? Of course, those are the principles. And yet, if we are not aware of it, if we push it aside, if we ignore it, if we resist it, it will get our attention. Is pain necessary? I think the Buddhist quote is, pain is inevitable, suffering is optional. So we may look at ourselves from a future state and say, oh, I see how that had to happen like that to get my attention and get me to here, right? So there's no risk. There's no risk to listening to spirit, to following what you love, to saying yes. That's how I teach that third step. You know, the five steps of treatment, the first one is recognition of all that is, and then the second one is when we connect ourselves to it, and then the third one is realization. To me, that's the say yes step. That is the asking for more, accepting more, realizing it's already been given, dreaming bigger, choosing something. Saying yes is part of the reciprocal nature of this universe. That's one of the principles. We live in a reciprocal universe. If you're not comfortable with all the principles, there's two big sections of my book called What Life Is, How Life Works. It's about as simple as I could make the principles of Science of Mind. But these principles are also in all of your classes as well. The basic principle being that there is only one life. It is everywhere present. It is within us. It connects us. It is a benevolent, good life that only seeks to bring forth more of itself. And it is a responsive universe. Its nature is not only creative, it's responsive. It creates, and it is responsive to its creation. So it requires participation to create something better, to choose something better. We can just say we're going to choose something, but we must participate. We must say yes. We must say, I am all in. I have to say you're all in, but in my experience, I have to say I'm all in. And what's the risk of all in? My husband likes to remind me when I'm not as enlightened as I like to be, he'll say, do you believe it or don't you believe it? Do you believe these principles? And do you believe that they are in every part of your life and not just some parts of your life? They're not just like the principles that work in love or family and not the principles in your bank account. Do you believe or don't you believe? And if you believe, then why not be all in? That's exactly what I told those people when I was so bold in probably my second year in this philosophy of asking people who already gave a lot of money to double what they gave. Because that's the principle, right? Either you believe or you don't believe. If 10% is recognizing the gifts in your life given by God and giving thanks back and knowing that it's part of the circulation, it's going to come back to you, well, what the heck do you think could happen if you doubled that? Only more good, right? So it's a partnership. It's saying, I'm all in. So we have to participate with Spirit. Spirit has already given everything. We're not participating to ask, to plead, to make a bargain. It's already been given. But we must participate in order for this reciprocal nature to guide us, to support us every step of the way. We participate by learning the principles, by taking the classes. We participate by having a spiritual practice. We participate by working with a practitioner. I mentioned that Lloyd Tupper is my practitioner. I'm so fortunate beyond words that man that I first saw and said, I want to know him, is my practitioner. And not only that, I have two other practitioners. I have three practitioners. Now, I always like to say this just because I kind of like the shock value because, you know, usually your minister's telling you you should have a practitioner as opposed to having three practitioners. But I told you I like to think big and live big. And I always say it takes three to keep all this happy going. Now, does it take God three? No. No. All of it's here for me. It takes me. That's what it takes me. To have different people that are supporting me. Because I bite off a lot. I dream big. And so I want that support. I want that constant support that I'm in the right path. I'm in the right place. That it's all okay. That sometimes I just ask him to tell me that. It's all going to be okay, Francine. Participating is really us and God. Because something better requires us. Checking my time. Oh my gosh, I'm way over, aren't I? Do you know, okay, here's an example of expanding. When I first started speaking with Lloyd, he would give me 5 minutes on the stage with him. And I was so scared. I thought, what am I going to say for 5 minutes? I don't have 5 minutes in me. I'd practice my thing at home, and I'd look at the clock, and it was 2 minutes. And I thought, oh my God, how am I going to fill 5 minutes? And my one practitioner, she laughs when I tell her this because she's like, oh, honey, you could just be up there for hours now. And so it's such a great demonstration when I see that I'm over. So I will wrap this up. But it is about participating with God. And thinking better and living better causes us, it's a cause, causes us to choose change for our evolution, for our transformation. It causes us to look at what we believe. What we believe about ourselves, what we believe about God. Saying yes does that. Saying that yes causes you to rethink all of those things. So all of this is our relationship to God because God requires us. God requires us for whatever it is we want. Whatever you believe is better, it's going to bless the world, bless the people around you. And God requires you to do that. And it's for your own purpose, for your own fulfillment. So in this time, just take a brief moment, because I want to leave everybody with something useful, whether you come to the workshop or not, but I hope you all will come to the workshop. I want to just take a second right now, and I really want you to choose something better. Choose something. Better does not mean that there's anything wrong with your life to be dissatisfied about. There is always something more. If your life is rocking and rolling, then choose something better for your community, for someone you know, for your country. Choose something better. Now, when you have that, if you know how that might come to be, if you can see how that might work, Reverend Deborah Johnson says, you're not dreaming big enough. So, go back to your happy place and choose something better. And in this workshop, we will expand that better. I guarantee you that we will activate better, we will start better. You will leave that workshop in a completely different state. I guarantee that. I guarantee that because it's God guaranteeing it. And so, to wrap that up, just checking to make sure I didn't leave anything out. So I will be at the back with books. If anybody would like a book, we'll be at the workshop. If anybody would like to work one-on-one, I have business cards. We can talk later. Oh, I do want to announce that Reverend Lloyd was just recently in Marin. He lives in Cape Cod right now, where he has a thriving private practice. He was just out and announced that he's going to be doing a retreat at Lake Tahoe, the very home where I just stayed, which is the home of my agent and his dear friend. And it's going to be in the beginning of October. I don't know the dates offhand. It's going to be a workshop, I mean a retreat, I will tell you, that's operating at a very advanced level. And if that's where you're at and you want to just dial up the principles and learn from one of our complete treasures and masters, then see me and I'll get your name. Somehow we'll get information so we can communicate with your group since you're so close. And it'll probably fill up pretty quickly. So with that, I will close with a spiritual mind treatment. Yes? Right here and right now, I turn my attention to recognize that one life that is present, that one life that is everywhere, absent nowhere, that one life that is all there is, that is the infinite, that has no beginning and no end. This life's nature is creativity. This life's nature is constant movement and change. And this is the life that I am. This is the source of my being. Its life is my life. Its good is my good. And as I know this for myself, I know this for each person here and each person within the sound of my voice and beyond. I know that we are the life of God expressing, that we are here for great purpose, to express that which is ours to do, ours to be, ours to bless. And that as we become aware of it, as we get inspired by it, as we fall in love with that, as God loves us, that we may say yes to something new, to something bigger, something better, something that we have never, ever thought of before, something that is so amazing that we don't even know how it's possible, but we know that in God it is possible. We know that God is in charge, and we do put God in charge. That our first step is to simply say yes. And as we say yes, we know that the whole universe turns upon its axis, and even right now is preparing and orchestrating the same power that can hold the planets in their orbits and the stars in the sky is working now at that better for us, inspiring it, showing us, connecting us. And I know that every principle that supports this universe allows it as a miracle not being the suspension of physical laws, a miracle being the demonstration of this higher law of which I speak. And therefore, I claim and accept for each one of us a miracle experience of better, to know beyond doubt that law is working for us. And so I release this word, which is the word of Spirit, which is the word of God speaking through me, inspired through me, and inviting each one here, including me, to something more. I release this word to that law, to the machinery that is in activation right now, even now, even now. And with gratitude for the gifts given, with gratitude that the kingdom is already here, I release it. I let it be so. I say it is so. And it is so. And so it is. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.